person on the stack is AC.
Yes.
Oh, can I get a second for that, please, somebody?
Second.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, if that's this is out of order because the PNB has no jurisdiction over this election, cannot control the election schedule, and cannot make rules or regulations about the elections. It's therefore out of order. Les Radke will have to review this information and make an adjudication.
Point of information, please.
The next person on the stack? Yes.
Point of order and information. I know it's a lot, and I just sent it now, but the last paragraph said, be therefore resolved that the NES is requested to seriously consider extending the record and nomination date.
Carolyn, on the stack, please, a point of information, please.
It's out of order for the National Board to bring any pressure to bear, whether it's a request or otherwise, on the National Election Supervisor. I rule it out of order. I'm going
to
go to the next person on
the
stack.
I challenge the rolling of the chair.
I challenge the chair.
A point of information, please. Carolyn here.
Yes, go ahead, Carolyn.
Yeah, I'm wondering if Nia or anyone else interested in forwarding this motion has actually contacted the National Supervisor before bringing this motion to bring these problems to his attention.
I thought that I saw some emails earlier.
Well, no, I'd like to hear from the people who may have done that, actually, to the National Supervisor. Perhaps Nia knows that.
Grace?
I've received
nothing. I believe
nothing.
We have a ruling of the chair and a challenge to that ruling on the floor.
Yes, this is out of order.
Point of information from Wendy.
Great.
Okay, let's have some order here.
Okay.
Wendy, what is the point of information?
Is this the motion comes from NEA? It's not from a committee, right? It's from NEA?
It's from NEA.
Okay, and we've got this when? Oh, I see it just now in my email.
Just now.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So there's a challenge to the ruling of the chair. Why don't we just go to a vote? It takes a two-thirds vote to overrule a ruling of the chair. A yes vote is a no vote upholds the ruling of the chair.
It's a majority vote.
Point of order, it's only a majority.
Okay, majority.
Great.
Fine.
This is Nia. Great.
Yes, we're going to go to a vote now, Nia. You're challenging the ruling of the chair? That's fine. Let's go to a vote.
Madam Chair, I believe the challenge is yes vote supports the chair, not the reverse.
Okay. So if you're voting yes, you're supporting the ruling of the chair. If you vote no, you're against the ruling of the chair. Richard, can you please take a roll call vote on this?
A point of information,
I want.
Yes. Go ahead, Nia. What is the point of information?
I'm asking, don't we get to discuss the challenge to the chair?
Where are we on time on this agenda item?
We are out of time as of about 30 seconds ago.
Okay, so we're going to go right to a vote.
Madam Chair, I don't think you can hurt arguments for the sake of time. As far as Roberts goes.
Okay, if you wish to, we can go to a vote, but we can't go to discussion. We're out of time.
I move to extend by 5 minutes.
Time.
Second.
Okay. Is there any objection?
I'd like to amend that motion, that it be for 2 minutes.
We can't get...
Okay. All right.
Could,
give a second.
Could you folks give me your names when you make those motions and you challenge things and stuff like that? Please give your name so I know who it is.
Okay. I believe it was Leslie who moved to extend by 5 minutes, and it was seconded. Ifia put forward a substitute motion to extend by 2 minutes. Is there a second for that substitute motion? I hear none. So it's back to Leslie's main motion to extend by 5 minutes. Why don't we just simply take a vote on this? Or is there any objection to extending this agenda item for 5 minutes?
Yes.
Okay. So, Sir Richard, let's take a vote on extending for 5 minutes.
Don't we vote on the amendment to 2 minutes first?
No, it wasn't seconded.
Oh, I'm
okay. Richard, please take a vote on the Leslie's motion to extend for 5 minutes.
I'm coming. All right. This is for the extension, 5 minute extension. Sean O'Brien.
No.
Leslie Bradford.
Yes.
Rico Ross. George Ryder.
No.
Sandra Rawline. Wendy Srell.
No.
Susan Young.
Yes.
Nia Bidiocco.
Yes.
Carolyn Burden.
No.
Kathy Davis.
No.
Jamie Ross.
Yes.
Jeff Brown.
Yes.
A.C. Bird.
Yes.
Lizette King.
No.
David Beaton. David Beaton. Fia Wangaza.
No.
Sherry Gendelman. Gendelman. Bonnie Simmons.
Yes. That was Sherry, and I'm
yes.
voting yes.
Okay. Andrea Turner.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Andrea?
Yes. Yes.
Joe Wanzala?
No.
Nine, four, eight against.
Can we call for David Beaton again? He was here before.
Excuse me. The vote's already.
Pardon me. What
David.
Was the vote count again?
9-4 and 8 against.
So the motion
Nine
failed.
Upholding the chair.
No, we weren't voting on the chair.
So the motion failed,
oh, the
right?
extension, sorry. No,
mm-hmm. the motion passes.
It needs
no, well, I'm
going to
vote. I'm
going to
vote
thirds.
No,
it
so it makes it a tie. So
no, it doesn't.
Not a tie.
Yes, it requires two thirds. Point of order.
Point of order. Great. Point of order. It requires two thirds.
Oh, two thirds. I'm sorry. So the I'm sorry.
Time?
We're on a motion to extend.
Oh,
sorry.
That's right. So the motion to extend.
The motion to extend fails. Now we're to the motion.
Wait a minute. I thought we said it was a majority vote.
No, that's on the motion to challenge the chair. Not on a motion to extend.
Right.
And on that motion to challenge, who made that?
That was Nia. Who? Leslie. And I'm not sure. I think it was Nia. Was it Nia? Did you challenge me?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes,
so now we're back to a vote on the challenge to the ruling of the chair that this motion, Nia's motion, is out of order. And let's go to a roll call vote on that, please.
Okay.
A yes vote. A yes vote supports the chair, correctly?
Yes, meaning it's out of order.
Yes means it's out of order. No means it's not out of order.
Actually, yes only means
you don't
it supports
sustain,
the
you
ruling
don't sustain,
of the chair.
That's right. You don't sustain the chair. George Ryder.
Yes.
Sandra Rawline. Sandra, if you're there, I can't hear you. Wendy Srell.
Yes.
Susan Young.
Abstain.
Can't hear you.
Abstain.
Nia Bediako.
No to upholding the chair.
Carolyn Burden.
Yes.
Kathy Davis.
Yes.
Jamie Ross.
Abstain.
Jim Brown.
Nope.
A.C. Bird.
No.
Zed King.
Yes.
David Beaton. I can't hear you, David. Afia Wangaza.
Yes.
Sherry Gendelman.
No.
Bonnie Simmons.
No.
Andrea Turner.
Oh.
Joe Wenzala.
Yes.
Sean O'Brien.
Yes.
Leslie Radford.
No.
Rico Ross. I can't hear you, Rico, if you're out there.
Yes.
Mr. Dave Beaton. Yes.
Dave Beaton. Okay. Nine to seven to two.
972. And what
okay.
does the nine mean?
Nine means
right.
the chair has been sustained.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're out of time for this agenda item. We're going to move on to the next agenda item, which is...
We had a stack, and I'm on that stack.
Well, the time is up, so we're not going to, unless there's someone wants to extend time for this.
And by 10 minutes, Madam Chair, this is important stuff.
Second.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Point of information, extend time on what, Madam Chair?
On the
National
Election Supervisor Report.
We can't extend time on that. Point of order.
Yes.
We just had a vote on that. We can't have another vote on the same thing.
Exactly.
That's correct. That's
we didn't have a vote on that.
Yes.
We had a vote on extending the time for Nia's...
No, that wasn't a... That was
loose,
a
we're talking
time for
time on a discussion.
Okay. All right. We're gonna move to the next thing on the agenda for this meeting tonight because... We already voted against extending time. George is absolutely correct.
That's right.
I think this is being. Let me say this. I'm very shocked and outraged at the fact
okay.
that
Horton
is
you're out of order. This is out of order. We're going to go on to the next thing on the agenda, which is the committees and working groups reports and motions. And the first thing is the coordinating committee report and the logistics for the July 24th to 26th in-person meeting. Wendy?
Yeah, hi. So I have submitted a rooming list to the hotel. The meeting will be held at the Beekman Tower Hotel in Midtown Manhattan. They've put together a very nice, affordable arrangement for us. Thank you, everybody, for giving me their preferences for rooms. This has all been discussed as that the meeting will start at noon on Friday, July 24th. Agenda hasn't been determined as yet, but I do would like people to let me know if they are not going to be able to be there Thursday night so I can cancel your rooms for that night. Those of you who already told me already have that. I hope that everyone by now has booked their flights.
I'm sorry, Wendy. I think my phone went out.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Say what we were doing Friday?
I didn't say what we were doing. I just said the meeting would be starting at noon. The intention is for the National Board to be having confidential reports at that time. I'm just asking everybody to allow that into their schedule. If they can't come, I know Sandra Rollin can't come on Friday at all. And I did hear from you, Bonnie, that you weren't sure if you could come Thursday night or not or be there by Friday at noon. So, I mean, if we haven't had a coordinating committee on what the agenda is. Just wanted people to understand. The meeting is the 24th, 25th, and 26th, and please try to be there at noon on Friday.
Okay. Thank you, Wendy. And I think that anyone who wants to have something on the agenda should send it to me and also to Wendy as chair of the coordinating committee. All right. Next thing on the agenda is Jamie Ross giving a report on the finance committee. Jamie, are you ready?
Hi. Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Grace. And thank you, everyone. Last night in the wee hours, I sent out a NFC report. I hope you all got it. Basically, I'll be repeating the points from that. First, the first point is that we met last Tuesday, the 7th, and we plan to meet this Tuesday, the 14th. We believe we have a lot on our plate, and we want to deal with it, the pressing issues that face the foundation. One item I forgot to add to the written report was budget preparation. For the most part, I don't believe the stations are where they are supposed to be according to the timeline that we agreed on. I believe KPFT is on pace, but I'm not sure about the others. We're going to find out that on the meeting on the 14th. We don't want to leave everything till the end. I hear somebody washing dishes.
Yes. Can you mute your phone if you're washing dishes, please?
Usually
that's
what I do on these calls.
Okay. Continue, Jamie.
Or clean the fridge. But
okay.
Let's see. The next item on the report is the Wells Fargo line of credit. We passed the following motion on July 7th. Which is the NFC approves in principle the renewal of Wells Fargo line of credit in the amount of $300,000 if it is secured by restricted national office assets rather than KPFA's unrestricted cash. The NFC requests, one, that the CFO provide a written description of the assets to be used as collateral, and two, that our corporate counsel provide a written opinion on the appropriateness of the use of these assets as collateral for a line of credit prior to PNB action. The issue there is that our line of credit with Wells Fargo is up August 1st, and our CFO, LaVarne, is negotiating a renewal. And we hope we can transfer the collateral to assets at the national office, which would free up cash, which KPFA now does not have access to. However, board members are concerned as to whether the account that was proposed to serve as collateral from this point on, whether it would be appropriate for that to serve as collateral for a line of credit, since this is a restricted account, and we're waiting for corporate counsel to provide an opinion on that issue. We do believe that this is a matter on which the PNB should speak. If we do decide to renew this, we believe that the PNB should vote to do so. And LaVarne did pass on our request for an opinion as well as all the relevant documents onto counsel, but we have not heard back from counsel as far as I know. Let's see, next point. Cash. NSC reviewed a revised cash flow forecast that was provided by National Office on July 7th. We'd like to thank LaVarne and to the finance staff for getting this together. The picture painted by this document is not good. The recent cash flow forecast projects $785,000 in cash foundation-wide as of September 30th. This would cover less than 3 weeks of expenses for the foundation. Also, some of us, upon review of the forecast, we found some things that probably should be changed, which would make the projected amount of cash for that point somewhat lower, you know, so even less. Also, the forecast points out that three stations, KPFK, BAI, and WPFW, will all have practically no money in cash at the end of the fiscal year. And, you know, we do have a standing policy that each station should end the year with 1 month reserves in cash. Another point, the forecast points out the national office projects a $347,000 cash deficit as of September 30. And we do not know how this need will be met. My understanding, I'm not a finance person, but my layperson's understanding is that you cannot have a cash deficit. You must have, you can't have negative cash. So somehow that we need to find that much cash. The only stations with cash reserves as of 9 2030 will be KPFA, which projects to have somewhere between 500,000 and 650,000, and KPFD, which projects to have 220,000. And I'd like to point out, if the Wells Fargo line of credit is renewed as planned and changed the collateral, it will free up another $400,000 of KPFA cash. So that'll up KPFA's cash at the end of the year. And one point that's not in the report, which is alarming with regard to the stations that don't project to have anything at the end of the year. At the end of last year, KPFK and WBAI didn't really have much in the bank. But WPFW, according to the audit, had over $200,000 in cash and cash equivalents. And this year, WPFW projects to end the year with about $1,000. So it appears that WPFW has essentially gone right through its surplus in one calendar year, which is an alarming thing. We've had discussions which have not gotten to any resolution about what to do about our looming cash shortfall. You know, different ideas are a real estate back loan, which has a certain set of problems, or emergency on-air fundraising, which has another set of problems. Or maybe we can be confident that with the changes in programming and management that have been happening, that we can look to making more money in the coming months, and these problems will ease. But we have not come to any resolution on these issues. Okay, how much time do I have left?
You have 8 minutes left, sir.
Okay, thank you. The last point is we review, and NSE regularly reviews our performance in the current fiscal year by use of the profit and loss or income statements, which are again provided by LaVarne and National Office staff, for which we thank them. I just got to review the June statement, which was just sent to me after our most recent meeting. An NFC meeting. And what the June statement says, that the foundation as a whole for the year to date through June, that's the first 9 months of the 12-month fiscal year, we run a deficit of 26,000 and we're over 1 million short of the budget target. The budget expected us to have a surplus at this point in the year, it being after the large spring drive. Each of the five stations, well, four of the five stations are behind budget targets, KPFA, KPFK, BAI, and WPFW. KPFT basically has met the budget target, so congratulations to KPFT. However, they did that by bringing in less money but also spending less money. So in a sense, that's great that they balance, but they actually send less money along the national office. So that even what KPFT is doing is not quite as good as what the budget had hoped. And the income statement shows a surplus at national office, which is somewhat illusory because the income statement shows accrued central service payments from all the stations. That means what the stations owe, not what the stations have actually paid. And BAI has not been paying its central services since September, as best as I know. So the actual cash coming from the stations does not equal the surplus that's on the income statement. And for those of you that looked at the report, if you're interested in why we're running these deficits, I do encourage you to look at this report. I tried to make some graphs that would explain which portions of our finances are not working as planned. I broke it out into revenue, all revenue, spending on salary and related, and then spending on everything besides salary and related. So break our finances into three specific areas. Revenues, all the units, save national office, are significantly behind the revenue targets, and that's a big contribution to why we're not meeting our budget targets, why we're missing them by a wide margin. The stations with the largest negative variance with regard to revenue are BAI, over 300,000, and PFW, 280,000. About 90,000 of that negative variance at WBAI is a bookkeeping artifact and probably can be discounted, but still it's a large negative variance of over 200,000. The other stations, KPFA, KNT, average about negative variance of 100,000. So all the stations are well behind the revenue targets as of June, according to the recent income statement. The other big reason why we're running shortfalls is our spending on salary and related is higher than what we had hoped for. If you all were here last year or you paid attention to the doings of the PNB at that time, you'll know that we tried to cut spending, especially on salary, because we knew this was going to be a bad year. And at least three of the stations, KPFK, BAI, and KPF, in particular KPFA, are overspending by quite a bit on the salary line. KPFA in the June statement shows an overpayment on salary with relative to the budget of almost $300,000. And the final area I broke out was expenses that were not salary. So you have revenue, salary expenses, and all non-salary expenses. Basically, all the stations are pretty much on target for the non-salary expenses, so that's not our problem. WPFW has a slight negative variance there, which is due, I believe, to unbudgeted legal expenses. So the conclusion there, through looking at the June income statement, is that, yes, we're running a large shortfall, which expresses itself as stations moving through their cash reserves, like what's happened at WPFW. And the reason we're doing that is that we're not bringing in money as we expected, and we're spending more than we expected on salary. So the cuts that we made last year in salary, while saving some money, did not save the money that we had hoped. Or they may have not, at least in one instance, they were not made to the degree or at all as the budget had hoped. So that's the end of my report.
Thank you, thank you, Jamie, for a very excellent report. It was simple. It was easy to understand, and it was complete. Thank you very much. Are there any motions from this committee?
Well, we move that the corporate counsel provide a written opinion with regard to the use of the restricted national office assets as collateral for the renewed line of credit. And Lavarne passed that on, so I believe that request has already been made. If you want to, if the PNB wants to, you know, concur with that, that might be good, but I don't know that it's necessary.
And this is Lavarne.
We do expect that the PNB would vote to renew the line of credit or not to, you know, when the question came up, but... So I don't know that there are any motions at this point.
Yeah,
this
okay.
I would
say
no.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Jamie.
May I ask something?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, as Jamie said, yeah, we sent it out to our corporate counsel, and, you know, I reread the restrictions on the account, and it says that only in exigent circumstances could we use that. So we had laid out, which, you know, we'll do again in the next finance committee meeting, what would be the alternatives. And I think Jamie had alluded to those are listed in terms of adding 2 days to these summer fund drives to retire the debt. And that would be the avenue to do that. And we would just do the renewal for 1 year and using the KPFA funds, but then retire it as soon as the as we complete the August fund drive.
Thank you.
Madam Chair,
I have a point. Grace, I have a question for Lavarne.
Oh, sure.
Which has to do with the definition of the word exigent. I mean, I would say, in a sense, we are an exigent.
Well, exactly. Precisely. That's why I didn't say yes or no. We
right,
are.
I understand. So it basically depends on how that word is defined.
How Ricardo, yes.
Okay, thank you. I think we're probably at time for the second item.
Thank you, Jamie.
Madam Chair, may I ask a question, please?
Sean, where are we at time?
We are at time as of 10 seconds.
Okay,
ago.
Extend for 5
very
minutes.
Question.
Second.
Okay, can we hear the question so we know what the extension is all about, please? What is the question?
One is that I wanted to know what the current rate and what was the old rate and the new rate for the Wells Fargo.
Okay, if we
are
since that's the only question, let's just get an answer.
I have the answer.
Wait, Grace, there are other questions. If we extend for 5 minutes,
people
will have a chance.
Okay, all right. Is there any objection to extending for 5 minutes? Hearing none. Go ahead, LaVorn.
The rate for the Wells Fargo loan was prime plus 4.25. So the rate, I think, was at, the rate was prime plus 4.2. Let me get back with you.
Just a second.
Okay, let's go on to the next question, then we'll come back to that. Does someone else have a question?
Wendy.
Okay, go ahead, Wendy.
So, I guess it's for LaVorn, but I guess I got it now, finally, after yes, we're still waiting to hear back from the attorney as per the Finance Committee's motion, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
And then it will come back to the PNB for a vote whether to renew or not. I also wanted to commend Jamie for this report from the Finance Committee chair. This is very easy to understand. I sent it to the KPFT board. I happened to be up whenever he was when I got it. Sent it to them last night, and it's very clear, and I've now just sent it to lots of listener email lists because I think a lot of these political and propaganda things that are happening could kind of be answered by really people need to look at this and understand that it is an extremely serious situation, and we're, let's stop rearranging the chairs thing.
Well, thanks.
Yes,
okay,
good
thanks,
Sherry and
Jamie.
Deck.
Okay, LaVorn, do you have the rates?
I do have the rates. I'm sorry. It started last year. It was prime plus 1%. So the rate was 6.25%. This year it's prime plus 1%. The rate would be 4.25%.
Okay. So that's a little better.
Sure.
Very good. Sherry, you have a question?
Jamie, you said that KPFA was not in a deficit. Is that correct?
Let's see.
No.
Did I say that?
I'm asking you because I have a few questions about that.
Okay, KPFA through the June income statement that we got from National Officer that I got, it says a deficit so far of $334,000.
Okay, and that did not take into account the recent bequest. Is that correct?
My understanding is it did not. That would show up in the July statement, but LaVorn may understand that better.
Mm-hmm.
It was just transferred or whatever.
I'm sorry, wait.
My understanding is Brian emailed us saying it was just transferred.
Oh, okay. All right. And then does the budget incorporate or not the proposed cuts that have been under consideration for several months that were forwarded to the IED by the GM of KPFA? Were they incorporated there or not?
The budget, yes, does incorporate cuts for KPFA. You know, the salary line that we expected to spend was quite a bit lower than what we've been spending.
Okay, and have they actually been implemented yet?
The cuts at KPFA?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Okay.
But, yeah, that is an issue that the stations that made cuts, I believe BAI made cuts in November and KPFK and KPFT also in November, and National Office made cuts, I believe, in October.
Right,
yes.
Right. And I know the KPFAs have been sitting there waiting for approval for some time. I just don't know if they have been approved yet.
This is LaVorn. I don't understand that the budget was approved back in September, so I don't know what additional approval you would need to make cuts. Is that true, Jamie? Was the budget approved back in September by the PNB?
Yeah, the budget for KPFA was approved at our D.C. meeting, along with the other stations, except for PFW, which was approved a couple of weeks later.
So what approval are they? I don't think it has to be reapproved if it was approved.
Well, that was the discussion at the Finance Committee.
Yeah, this discussion did take place in closed session, so we should remember.
Thank you.
Okay, now we're going to move on. I believe the 5 minutes is up. So the next thing on the agenda is the Personnel Committee. Is there a Personnel Committee report?
Did we vote on that five-minute extension? I don't think we ever got to that.
Yeah, there was no objection to it, and we finished the five-minute extension. We're now out of time for the report, the Finance Committee report, and the extension. So we're now to the Personnel Committee.
Thank you so much, Grace, for bypassing me.
Pardon me? Thank you.
Dave Beaton. This is the Personnel Committee report. There's no report at this time.
Okay. Thank you, David. Now we're on to the Archives Task Force. There is a motion coming from the Archives Task Force. Is there a director to present it, or shall we just read it from the agenda? Okay. I'll read it from the agenda. That a two-day fund drive in late November 2009 will be held for the Pacifica Archives that will have the participation of all five Pacifica stations. As comes from a task force, I believe it doesn't need a second. It passed with one abstention in the task force. So we can have some discussion about that.
Point of information?
Yes.
Point of information?
Yes.
Is this the only drive of the year that will be specifically for the archives?
Yes.
Madam Chair, it's Bonnie.
Yes.
During the Archives Task Force, I believe you said that you had already spoken with all of the general managers and that everyone had agreed to do a two-day fund drive in late November, so I'm sort of puzzled as to why there is a motion on the Pacifica National Board memorializing this. What's the point of the motion?
To memorialize at the request of myself and Brian DeShazer, so that it has the approval of the Pacifica National Board.
Does the Pacifica what?
Okay, that's correct. To give the approval by the Pacifica National Board, that's correct.
Move approval.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Is there any objection to approving this motion?
I would abstain.
Hearing none. Pardon me?
I am abstaining.
All right. Are there any other abstentions or objections?
I'm abstaining.
Come on, you guys.
Okay.
Your manager said yes. You want to abstain?
I don't think
we want to say yes.
Put this in place, Wendy.
Whatever.
All right. So there's Sherry, Bonnie. Anyone else abstaining?
Leslie.
Okay. Anyone else? Hearing no one else, the motion passes with three abstentions, Sherry, Bonnie, and Leslie. And we'll move on now to the Affiliates Task Force. Is there a report from the Affiliates Task Force?
Yes, there is. And that is just that the affiliates had, this is Ethea Wangaza, the chair of the Affiliates Task Force. And we had our regular meeting the second Thursday night of the month, at which time we focused largely on if the person who's putting away their dishes, if they would mute themselves, I would appreciate it, to find ways to encourage further or more effective communication between the affiliates and the sister stations. Secondly, that to develop a survey and or better system of feedback on use of Pacifica station programming and to encourage the Pacifica stations to use affiliate programming. to third, to foster better administrative assistance or support to the affiliate stations, namely what I would more, I think, probably more accurately characterize as cooperative economics. There's Ursula had at an earlier point back in the spring indicated that the National Federation of Community Broadcasters had agreed to do work on joint buying efforts or group buys where equipment might be sought by affiliates as well as Pacifica stations. No action has been taken on that. There is a possibility that that will take get further attention come the fall. A second, on that same point, and better communication, is the question of whether or not there needs to be some formal way for meetings between the affiliates and the sister stations and the board. There'll be more discussion about that. But in the interim, I will be offering my second invitation to affiliates to join and appear at the in-person board meetings. I issued that invitation to the meeting that we had in Berkeley, and while we didn't have any extensive response, I'm going to do the same thing again with regard to the New York meeting. The most important or the most pressing concern, I will say, that the affiliates have is the upgrading of AudioPort so that it is more user-friendly, that simpler instructions are posted, and in the meantime, but that there be a formal campaign designed and initiated to ensure the upgrading of AudioPort, that there's an info exchange bulletin board established for communication between the Pacifica stations and the affiliates, that making information more readily available as to programming that's available, inquiries about joint, developing joint programming, and there was a third piece on that. And then continuing interest in Pacifica's developing an national internet station and developing the satellite potential that has also come up in the course of the past 12 months. That is the affiliates report.
We are at time.
Thank you very much, Afia. All right, next thing is the audit committee. Is there a report from the audit committee? Nia, I believe you're the chair of the audit committee.
I'm sorry, it stepped away from me. The only thing that I have to say for the in-person meeting, since Tony Pohl cannot fly in, we wouldn't want to have to pay for that. Could you make arrangements on the agenda to have him eat via telephone? That's the only thing that I have.
Okay, thank you for telling me about that. I'll make those arrangements.
Yeah, and then to approve the to approve the audit report, so we could do it then. You know.
Okay, and how much time would you like on the agenda? Well, you email me about the time you'd like on the agenda for that. We'll get to that. All right,
Madam Chair,
yes.
I would like to make the same request for the affiliates' participation on the agenda also, and I would ask for 15 minutes.
Okay, very good. If there's no objection, we'll put 15 minutes for the affiliates to report. I don't think there would be any objection to that. All right, the next thing is...
This is Lavari. Can I just report something briefly? That
that since I've been back, we met with the auditor and one of his better, one of his really key people to talk about the 2010 audit. So we're already starting on that. We've already started doing the preparation in the national office with our volunteer. And that really important thing is that what really held us up was the legal, in terms of getting a forecast of what our legal expenses are and our exposures. And so we need to, now that we have a different counsel, and but we still have to deal with the counsel in New York, that was what really held us up. So anyone who has any influence with any of those people, please, because the more hours they spend, the more it costs us. So, you know, I'll press on that now, of course, in terms of having a good forecast of our exposure or opportunities in any of our various legal cases. But to let you know, we're already getting started on 2010.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, now we're on to the Governance Committee. You know, everyone, it's 6:53 by my clock, and we're supposed to be ending this meeting at 7, or it would be 10 Eastern, 9 Central Time. So technically we have 7 minutes left to the agenda. The Governance Committee report and motions come next. And the first agenda item for that is the motion by Jim Brown and A.C. Byrd regarding the current eligibility of Campbell Johnson to serve on the Pacifica National Board, unless you, George, have a report that would go before that.
Well, I think the body moved to have this put first. It's not part of my report, so I think we should just give it 10 minutes. It'll mean 3 minutes going over 3 minutes, but it seems to me that's the sensible thing to do. And we'll have to postpone the rest of the Governance Committee report till the in-person meeting.
Okay. If there's no objection to that extra 3 minutes, we'll move on to that. And would Mr. Brown or Mr. Byrd like to motivate this?
Joe, from your timer, Madam Chair, how much time do you want for this?
Let's give it 10 minutes, as it says on the agenda.
One more time.
Well, yes.
10 minutes.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, for one thing, we were, of course, denied admissions in January, and we were told to get have a recount. All we could do on the recount was call the committee to bring them in and to have them to go over the STV again. They refused to take any other issue up with us, and so they recounted the ballots. I think that you were informed, Grace, about they recounted the ballots as they existed at that time and said that that was all that they could possibly do based on their own rules and regulations. So, but now there's been some changes in that fact. We have had Campbell Johnson has now served out his year's term, and we're asking that he be, based upon that, be admitted to the National Board on that basis, given that he has a vote in that direction, where the LSB has voted for him to take that position. So we would at this time just simply ask the board to admit him to the board. We're not asking for recension of the motion that was taken then. We're simply asking that he be admitted on the strength and the basis of the fact that he is now eligible.
Point of information.
Okay.
All right.
Point of information. I'd like to second that motion.
Okay. It has two people bringing it forward, so just a
point of information.
One moment. Okay. Lizette, go ahead.
I didn't quite get what the result was for retallying the vote by single transferable vote. What was the result?
The results were they were restrained by their own rules. They could only tally the vote that was taken before, which is what they did. They unsealed them. Tallied the vote, and then they seal them back up again. So that's all they would do. They would not go take any further actions on that.
And another point of information. I thought the PNB had asked to bring those ballots to the PNB. What happened?
Well, no, I didn't. No, I don't recall any effort to bring the ballots to the PNB. We couldn't have brought the ballots to the PNB. We might have been able to ask them to send them to the PNB.
Okay, let's go
we
on.
We can go on stack.
George, okay. On the stack, too, please.
Okay. All right.
Ballot.
Joe, you're next on the stack.
Yeah, substitute motion.
Okay.
Which I'm sending just now, and I'll go ahead and read it. Consistent with the request of the Pacifica National Board and the refusal of the WPFW local station board to tally the ballots of the 2009 election for their representatives to the Pacifica National Board, and by single transferable vote calculation, and being mindful of the authority granted to the PNB to override any local station board actions, resolutions, and policies they take or adapt that are adverse to the mission or business purposes of the Foundation, Article 7, Section 4, and being aware that there are two PNB listener representative alternates to the WPFW election, Billy Ray Edwards and Rob Robinson, and that Rob Robinson has conceded that Billy Ray Edwards is the next in line, is next in line on the list, and to address the fundamental issue of adequate WPFW listener representation to the Pacifica National Board, this PNB recognizes and sees without delay Billy Ray Edwards as the third listener representative to the Pacifica National Board.
Second.
Okay. All right. So we'll have some discussion about this substitute motion. George, you're next on the stack.
Well, I want to support the substitute motion. My sense is, as Joe said, which was that it was, in fact, the WPFW LSB that prevented the retallying and of the ballots. It was not the decision of the company that was retallying. They were quite willing to do it. But the board was unwilling to resolve the election that way.
Yeah,
that being the case, that election is still open, and Campbell Johnson was ineligible for that election. And to put Campbell on the board rather than to put someone who would have been the choice, and apparently there's only one person left, so we don't have to discuss that too much. Would be it seems to me a travesty, and would be to allow the board to sort of ignore the will of the body and the PNB in this regard. So I'm supporting the substitute motion.
Thank you.
Leslie.
I'll concede to AC.
No, AC. We're going to take anyone who wants to speak for a first time before we take anybody who wishes to speak for a second time.
I'd like to be able to speak.
Okay, Leslie is first. Time permitting,
okay.
you will be able to speak twice.
In that case, I would like to say that I support the original motion. It seems to me that the WPFW LSB did all it was capable of, given that the votes were in the hands of the voting organization. And Fair Vote did not agree to retally the votes. They certified the original election. I don't think that we should be in the business of punishing LSBs in any case, but certainly not for circumstances and events that were beyond their control. We did not order Fair Vote to produce those ballots. We did not order Fair Vote to retally them in front of the PNB. We did not challenge Fair Vote's determination in any way. We kept at the LSB, and it appears to me that it was entirely out of their control.
Madam Chair, could you hear me? This
okay.
is Jim Brown.
Jim, go ahead.
Yeah.
We're on the substitute motion.
Yes, I know. And I was listening very carefully to George and to Joe when they said that we did not do what was ordered us to do by the PNB. It's not true. We did not prevent the counting of the votes. We did give the votes to Fair Vote to count. They did, in fact, count the votes, sealed the envelope, and said that they did not want to go any further with it in terms of whatever it was that we wanted them to do until we could, in fact, satisfy whatever confusion we had. Now, the problem that I see here is that the LSB did what was asked to be done, and for anyone to say that it wasn't done is not seeing the truth. And anyone who says that there was in other words, given the order of who's left in there and what their actual standing was in that election is unfair, because we never saw who those other people were. We don't know how the other people fared in that election until we actually see all those votes. So
Madam
for George,
Chair,
that is saying it, he's saying it based on no information.
Okay, next
point of information.
Sean? We didn't ask, the PNB didn't ask for a recount. We asked for a retally of those votes. We repeatedly asked the representatives from PFW to turn over the ballots so they could be retallied. Okay?
No.
We're not talking about the election here. We're talking about Campbell Johnson not being having the qualifications in terms of time to serve on the PMB. And the fact that they didn't then take him out, retally the votes, denies the rights of one of the local LSB members, okay, the person that should have been, who did serve the right amount of time and should have been seated. We deny them their rights. And then we deny the listeners, and I want to say, it's the LSB that has been denying their listeners proper representation on the PMB. The PMB has wanted to settle this since January, and there have been repeated requests that those ballots be turned over for a re-tally. Thank you very much.
I'd like to point out also that we've been asked to be on the agenda for months, and it has not been done. It's been put down. This is the first time it's been moved up.
Okay, I believe
we're asked to be on stack.
Okay, I believe we're out of time for this.
We have 40 seconds, Madam Chair.
May I speak? Madam Chair, I ask to be on.
No, we're not. We haven't exhausted the people who wish to speak for the first time. And we only have 30 seconds left. If you'd like to have 30 seconds, Bonnie.
I would vote for the initial motion because I don't believe in an STV vote calculation that you can indeed remove somebody from that and retally. Because it disenfranchises the people that voted for him initially. And
you're going to their second choice.
Okay. We're at the end of time for this agenda item. We can look at extending time, which would take a two-thirds vote. We can look at postponing the consideration of this item, or we can look at going to a vote on the substitute motion and the main motion. Those are the three things we can do.
Move to the vote.
Let's go for the vote on the substitute motion.
Okay, fine. Richard?
That's how it gets decided?
We're at the end of this agenda item. If you'd like to extend time or postpone consideration of the item.
I call to postpone.
Okay, wait a second. One at a time. Okay.
Leslie, and I'm moving to postpone.
Called a question.
You can't just shout out.
Okay, that's it. Let's take a vote on whether we wish to. Is there a second on postponing this agenda?
Second.
Item?
I did say call the question.
Yeah, you can't just yell out. You have to be recognized.
Please come to order, okay? Let's allow a vote to be held on postponing this agenda item until the next meeting. We obviously still wish to discuss it.
Okay. All right.
So if this vote fails, then we'll go to a vote on the two motions on the floor. Richard, please take a vote on postponing this agenda item, further discussion on this agenda item until the next meeting.
Okay. Scary Gindelman.
Yes.
Bonnie Simmons.
Yes.
Andrea Turner.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
She said yes.
Yes.
Joe Wanzala.
No.
Sean O'Brien.
No.
Leslie Radford.
Yes.
Rico Ross. George Ryder.
pass.
Sandra Rawline. Wendy Shrill.
Abstain.
Susan Young.
Abstain.
Dia Bediaco.
Yes.
Carolyn Burton.
No.
No?
No.
Kathy Davis.
No.
Jamie Ross. Jamie Ross.
No. No.
Jim Brown.
Yes.
Can't hear you, AC.
Yes.
Seth
yes.
King. Got you, AC. Lucette King.
No.
David Beaton.
No.
Fia Wangaza.
No.
George Ryder.
No.
Seven. 792.
Okay, the motion to postpone fails. Let's go to the a vote substitute motion.
Okay. Substitute motion. Sean O'Brien.
Pardon me, Madam Chair. This is Jamie with a point of information.
Yes, go ahead.
Actually, I withdraw it.
Okay, let's go to a vote on the substitute motion.
Madam Chair, I have a
Sean O'Brien.
I have a point of information.
Grace, I still don't Grace. I have a point. Just a point of information, really quick.
A point of information is a question. And go ahead.
Which one of us?
Oh, I'm clear.
Bonnie is first.
My
I am reading this motion, and I would like. I don't understand. Rob Robinson conceded. Do we have some proof of that action?
Yes, we do.
What is
next question, Nia.
What's the proof, Madam Chair?
An email from Rob. Okay, next question, Nia.
Yes. My question is, who observed the reopening of the envelopes since no one seemed to, didn't go any place to know?
This is not germane to the substitute motion.
Okay,
right?
That's correct. Okay, now let's go to a vote on the substitute motion.
What was the answer?
We're way over time for this meeting as a whole. We're going to go to a vote on the substitute motion. Richard?
Okay, this is a vote on the substitute. Sean O'Brien?
Yes.
Leslie Radford?
No.
Rico Ross. George Ryder.
Yes.
Sandra Rawline. Wendy Shrill. Wendy Shrill. Can't hear you, Wendy. Susan Young.
No.
Nia Bediaco.
No, this is so illegal.
Carolyn Burton. Carolyn Burton. Carolyn Burton. May we take this vote, folks? Carolyn Burton. Carolyn Burton.
Keep going.
Can't
we'll
hear
come
you,
back.
I'm sorry, I was muted. Yes, Burton votes yes.
Kathy Davis.
Yes.
Jamie Ross.
Yes.
Jim Brown.
No.
A.C. Bird.
No.
Lucette King.
Yes.
David Beaton.
Yes.
Fia Wangaza.
Yes.
Wendy Shrill there. Wendy, can't hear you. Sherry Gendelman.
No.
Bonnie Simmons.
No.
Andrea Turner.
No.
Joe Wanzala.
Yes.
Do we get everybody?
Everybody but Wendy.
Enrico.
Wendy dropped off, I guess.
Oh.
Okay.
9-4. 8 against.
Okay, the substitute motion passes. I would entertain
motion
a motion to adjourn.
Sean, a motion to adjourn.
Okay, and anyone second that?
Second.
Chair.
Okay. Objections to adjourning? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned. All right,
Chair.
Go ahead, Lizette. What's up?
I was just trying to ask what action we take from the motion.
Okay, well, obviously, this is a motion to see Bill Ray.
Okay.
So.
Needed.